Last Sunday, I shared our part one of a vision talk, the big picture for our church, what's our history, where we come from, where we're going, in particular the discernment process that we go through every year. Lord, what are you doing with us? What are you saying to us? What's coming next for us? And shared that last Sunday. If you missed that, you can catch that up on the podcast online. But a few highlights that lead into part two today to make sense for today. In the setting out the picture of what God's calling us to next, by the way, my wife reminded me, I'd completely forgotten, today is actually, this date is the 20th, it's 20 years to today since Bev and I had our hands laid on us in our, we were 20-year-olds and prayed for and released to come and plant this church, 20 years ago, and I haven't changed at all. Bev hasn't changed, but I have significantly. And one of the things I announced last Sunday, played a little video and told the reasons why, I felt the Lord said that it's time for us to find a permanent home after 20 years, that we're becoming a church and being a church that needs for the rest of what God's got for us to find a facility. And there'll be some steps that we take, and we're going to start praying for and looking for and doing that. There are some things I talked about that the Lord is doing with us now. Amazing things that he is releasing in us as our church is growing. We have new people and new Christians and God putting before us, stirring up our people for amazing things and calling. And many of those, I believe, I shared last Sunday, will be the steps that we take to become. We're not in a place where we can get a facility and it's not just going to drop out the sky, but the other word the Lord's given me is that we need to become more the kind of church that he would release a permanent facility to. And these things that he is releasing to us now are steps towards that, and I highlighted those last Sunday. So I tease those. And as a promise from last Sunday, I've got a few people to share some of these things a bit more up close for you so you can see a little bit more what God is doing and putting before us. We're not going to get Hannah. Hannah started just a couple of weeks ago as our full-time children and families pastor because we've talked for the last few months about our vision and mission for children and families. And Hannah is stepping into that for us in that role with us. And you'll get an update on her. But to just give you a rundown, we've got Richard Brownnut. We're going to welcome in a minute. Richard is one of our trustees and a heart and passion for mission. Richard is going to update us on missions in the life of the church. Ben, our youth and community pastor, has the most amazing opportunity that God is opening up in local schools. He's going to come and tell you about. Then Wendy, our prayer pastor, is going to come and talk about healing ministries and prophetic words. And then lastly, Debbie, our community pastor, is going to come and talk to us about Grow Baby and Lighthouse and how God is bringing together all our things with regards to courses and community into an amazing opportunity. And then I will summarize that and we'll go into worship. And so, would you welcome Mr. Brownnut?
Thank you. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
So behind me, in 1 second, you will see a picture of a family. There we go. Some of you will know this family really well. Some of you might know them by name or by picture, but not have met them. And some of you won't have a clue who these are. So let me introduce them. This is Denzel and Leanne and their lovely daughters, Emily and Jessamy. And a fifth member of the family hiding in the photo somewhere because this summer they have a new member joining them, which is something to look forward to, of course. And Denzel and Leanne, the Dolly family, they were members of this church, worshipping in this building, in this congregation, until a couple of years ago. The reason they're not here anymore is because Denzel received a calling from God. It wasn't a sudden calling, it was a gradual, between the years of about 2010 and 2013, messages were coming. And he was getting confirmation from people in the church that he was to, by faith, in obedience, get up and take his family to Cape Town, South Africa. And he bravely and boldly did that, and he formed an organization called ASLAN, Hope in Sport. And that kind of does what it says on the tin. It's an organization which outreaches to young people using sport as their medium and bringing the message of hope. And we have some pictures of some sports taking place. If you had absolutely amazing eyesight, and none of you will see this from where you are sitting, I'm afraid, but on these banners which are placed at the sports events, it says Sutton Vineyard Church. And I just think how great that we have the Vineyard name, we have the Sutton Vineyard name out there in Cape Town, because that is something that is planted there from this church, which is absolutely fantastic. And these are just various sports that take place. And they use the sport to contribute to young people's physical development, to their educational needs, to their character development. And after the sports take place, the team, Denzel and his team, they give presentations to the young people, presentations that convey key positive values. And of course, all this is underpinned by the Christian message, the message of hope, and the message of Jesus as their saviour. Many of these young people, they're from deprived communities. They may get involved in drugs and gangs and crime. If they haven't already, it's a big risk for them. And they're at big risk of being excluded from their schools. So we support this work two ways, I guess. One through prayer, and the other one is financially. And Denzel tells me that because of our support, over the last year, they were able to not only do the 10 projects that they planned, but an extra 21 projects. Absolutely fantastic. They've also been able to purchase clean drinking water and fruit for their feeding projects that they do in the townships. And they now have enough readily available equipment for delivering really professional quality coaching that they do. So I appreciate some of the text there was a little bit small to read, but did you count how many times it said thank you? Their gratitude. That was made, as I say, especially for us here at Sutton Vineyard. So do receive their thanks for that. Now, as trustees, we've mentioned in the past that just as we believe it's right, or the church here believes it's right for us as individuals to tithe to the church, we also believe it's right for the church as a whole to tithe some of our income to things what we call external to the church. So we've decided we'll give 10% of all of our income received as a church to external causes. This includes things like the Sutton Schools work, the Sutton Community Works, and Aslan. We actually give 4/10 of that 10% to Aslan. Or to put it another way, 4% of all the income we receive as a church goes straight out there to Cape Town. No administration fees or any other costs on top of that. Just 4% goes straight out. To put it another way, if you give £1, well, let's say if you give £100, that's £4 that can go to Aslan. And because it's a percentage, that means that every extra pound we give, or if I dare say every extra £100 or £1,000 we might give, 4% of that will all go straight out to Cape Town. Thank you also to those of you who previously gave to projects in Sri Lanka that used to run for agreeing to allow that income to go to Aslan. That's really very much appreciated as well. And all of this has been especially needed over the last year because the value of the pound against South Africa's currency, the rand, has absolutely plummeted. It's lost 27-28% of its value since last March. So in other words, if we sent £100 before, they now receive what looks like sort of £70-72 to them. Now, you're still with me on the maths. Further to this, we committed as a church that we would collect some seed money. We didn't know what it was for. We perhaps thought that God might want to use this for local projects around here, but we put some money into a pot for what it might be needed. Now, we committed to save 1/10 of our 1/10 that we give away. So in other words, 1% of our total income we would put into a pot for seed money. I'm really pleased that as trustees, a couple of weeks ago, we agreed that because of the fall in the rand and the things that are going on and what they need, we would give all of last year's seed money to Aslan. That's several £1,000, as you might imagine, and we've already sent that off to them in South Africa. So a big thank you to you all, because that's all through your regular giving that we've been able to do that. So where does that leave us? Three things. Number one, because of the percentage basis I've hopefully described okay, that means the more we give to the church, the more that goes out to Aslan. Denzel tells me that Aslan would like to increase their sports feeding program. They've got a goal this year of delivering 50 projects. So they did have 10, they then did 21, they're now going to aim to do 50 projects, which is absolutely fantastic. The second thing is prayer. Do please pray for them. I asked Denzel for a couple of prayer points. He sent me 9, like a whole page of prayer stuff. There's absolutely loads and too much. Unfortunately, we can share this morning. I mean, if you want to see them, do ask me. But do please keep praying for them. And thirdly, and this is where it gets exciting, for me anyway, we would love to send a team out to Cape Town from this church so that we could really engage more directly in what Aslan does, really get a feel for what they do and truly become part of the work there. I've no idea when that might happen. We've no idea who might go, who might plan it, who might work it. We've no idea how we might do it. But we're just saying from the front now, we do have a vision for that and would love to do that. So please, if you could pray for that as well, that'd be fantastic. Thank you.
Thanks, Rich. And let's give our youth and communities pastor, Ben, a warm welcome.
Good morning. Good morning. So I've written down a few notes so I can try and keep to time, just because I could talk all day about this stuff. So my name is Ben. I'm the Youth and Community Development Pastor here at Sutton Vineyard. And I spoke to you all in October saying, oh, hopefully by March I'll have started something. There'll be some community outreach happening. And now it's March. So thankfully, there is stuff going on, which is very exciting. And I'm thrilled to be talking about it this morning because, yeah, I'm so privileged to be involved and be able to do a load of this stuff. And so I have developed an outreach course called the Positive Identity Program. And so it is targeting young people with low self-esteem, struggling in school, potentially at risk of self-harm, and just trying to really speak positively and allow them to see the gifts and talents that they all possess to try and, yeah, allow them to make more positive decisions, build resilience, all sorts of stuff. And so it is a six-week course, and these are the topics that we cover each week. So week one, we explore identity, who we are, how we see ourselves, what do we see as the important parts of our lives, how we describe ourselves to other people, what we think about ourselves, all these different things. Week two, we look at young people's stories and experiences, the place you grew up, when you grew up, how you found school, what school you went to, what your parents called you as a child, the little nicknames you got at school and how that affects your identity, any kind of accidents or emergency incidents that happen that can really affect who we are and how we see the world. Week three, we celebrate the differences and we look at the fact that we've all got vastly different stories and we've all got incredible different gifts. And so if we pick on people because they're different to us, then that's not going to make us feel any better. But if we can celebrate that, we can really harness that energy and really work as a group to build each other up. Week four, we look at multiple intelligences. So beyond just the differences between us, we look at how we learn, the skills and gifts that we have beyond whether we're good at maths or PE or history or DT or whatever. Actually, it could be that you're musically gifted or you have spatial awareness that people just can't see, or any number of, well, there's eight different intelligences and there's a lot that school don't necessarily use to be able to show you that gifting. So achieving dreams is week five. And what do we actually want to do? In a perfect world where we didn't doubt ourselves as much as we do, what would we strive to do? What would success look like within that? And how can we achieve that? And so we look at that and allow them to dream a little bit. And then the sixth week's a bit of a party. We just celebrate the young people. We look at who they are and how well they've done in these 6 weeks, the gifts and the talents and the abilities that they have. And we just go nuts. We eat pretty bad food. We'll have some sweets and some fizzy drinks and just come around and have a great time. And as part of that, we really build them up. And so currently, I'm in Wallington Boys Grammar School, and we've just finished week four. So we've just got a couple more weeks. And again, it's just a massive privilege for me. It's been amazing for me to be able to get in and meet with these young guys and see who they are and how their different lives really are starting to complement each other, and they're starting to be vulnerable with one another as they trust each other more. So Glenn Thorne have agreed to run the project after Easter, and they're going to take GCSE students out of lessons. I can't explain how big a deal that is for a school to be taking young people out of lessons because they see the value in this, but they've agreed to do that, and are hopeful that that can be replicated. We've got Sutton Grammar wanting it as soon as possible, so we'll probably start there in the autumn. And we've also got LIMES, which is the pupil referral unit within Sutton. I went and met with them a couple of weeks, and they're talking about using it as part of their curriculum for new young people and for young people who are just there for a little while before they move on, and then kind of developing it further. And I've got meetings in other schools, and if anything, demand is going to be the biggest problem, really. So thank you for all of your giving, because it pays for this course to be free for schools. It's a free resource, so they're going for it. And it allows young people to be spoken to in a positive way as Christ sees them, rather than what society tells them. And that is such a privilege for me to be able to speak that out. But just before I go, if you could continue praying for the whole course, that would just be phenomenal. So I'm going to run off back to youth, but thank you so much.
Thanks, Ben. Awesome. And Ben needs prayers. He's talking about sex and relationships this morning. And would you welcome Wendy Sullivan, our prayer pastor?
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Okay, so I thought last Sunday was pretty exciting as we considered the big picture of our vision for this community. And I just sense there's a momentum building in church at the moment. Actually, I sense there's a momentum building with other churches across the town. Actually, I sense there's a momentum building across our nation. Look at a lot of the stuff that's going on the internet with our churches and church leaders. And you know, it's exciting. It's positive. We've heard a couple of times over the last couple of weeks the reference to us being like oaks of righteousness from Isaiah 61. And indeed, we've had demonstrated that our outward and upward growth is growing. We're becoming very big up and outward. But you know, the thing about oak trees is that the bigger they grow, the stronger their root structure needs to be underground. So Jason also talked last week. One of his headings was about discipleship, and it was about us becoming, was the word he used. So that's one of the reasons we recognize we need to deepen our roots. It's one of the reasons we're introducing a new ministry tool into church this year that's called SOZO, Greek word, S-O-Z-O. SOZO is not a crisis management tool. You don't have to be in a place of crisis to need some SOZO ministry. SOZO is a maintenance and development tool. It's a tool that will benefit all of us. It's a tool that everybody, from Jason and Bev at the front, all the way across church, need to take advantage of. It's a tool that increases our understanding and experience of being connected to God the Father, being connected to Jesus the Son, being connected to the Holy Spirit. It will help us all grow in our relationship and understanding and of how we connect to that. And where our prayer is that it will become part of the DNA of SVC. Lots of initials, DNA, SVC. But we're linking those two together, and we're planning and praying that SOZO will become part of our DNA. Now then, there's currently 24 of us training to minister SOZO across the church. If you're in the room and you are part of that training, would you please stand for a moment? Great, absolutely. Now then, if you want to know more about SOZO, if you think, what on earth is she talking about, these are the guys to go and ask. They'll tell you why they're doing it, how enthusiastic they are, and they are, and what SOZO is about. Thanks, guys. So talk to people. Find out what SOZO is about. Now, as we work on our connection to God and take part in meeting together to pray, to undergird everything that's going on in prayer, whether we're praying at the Dolphin, in our small groups, in the prayer room, on Sunday mornings, individually, the Lord begins to reveal his purpose to us. We begin to move into areas of the prophetic. The prophetic is God speaking to us. God actually directly revealing his heart to us. Psalm 25 says, "The Lord confides in those who fear him. He makes his covenant known to them." Or in another way, in the message, it says, "God friendship is for God worshippers. They are the ones he confides in." That sounds incredible. The God of the universe will talk to us. The God of the universe will share his plans with us. Yes, absolutely. We have for years run a prophetic prayer meeting here once a month. Happens to be tomorrow night at the Dolphin, 8 o'clock. You're very welcome to come and join us there, to join us in listening to what God is saying to us as a church at this time. Now, as I say, we've been doing this for years. And there's a real sense of God's presence in our meetings at the moment. Way back in December 2012, unfortunately, in September 2012, I started writing things down. So in December 2012, we had a prophetic prayer meeting at my place, and we were waiting on God, as we always do, month by month. And I wrote down the things God shared with us that night. One, and he speaks in lots of different ways, because one of the first things he said to us that night, he reminded us of the children's nursery rhyme about Wee Willie Winkie. And we really sensed in that God's heart amongst us as a people for children. And we all know how we've moved into that in recent times. The other thing we sensed that particular meeting, December 2012, was just this sense of light over the town. We had a very specific picture of people queuing to get through a narrow door. And we had, as the evening went on, the picture grew into a very clear picture of a lighthouse standing in the middle of the town. Now, my flat happens to be on the fourth floor, and my living room windows look out across Sutton, right across to London. On a clear day, I can see the South Bank and the buildings there. And as we prayed together, we had the sense of this lighthouse being built in the middle of Sutton Town, and we saw the beams of light being shed right across from Sutton and hitting the South Bank and the centre of London. Hang on to that, because when Debbie comes to speak next, she'll put that into some context for you. 2012, a picture of a lighthouse in the middle of Sutton, with its beams reaching far out. 10 years ago, this year, we were celebrating our 10th anniversary as a church, and we all went away for the weekend. It was an interesting weekend in many ways, but the thing that really sticks in my mind is that on the Sunday morning, a long-term friend of Jason's came to speak to us, called Andy Hickford, and he spoke to us out of Joshua chapter 3. And the word he gave us and the challenge he put before us was this from Joshua 3. Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things amongst you. I can remember that really hit me at the time, and I've never forgotten it. I have a very real sense that God's tomorrow of 10 years ago is our today of right now. I believe God is about to do amazing things amongst us. And the call to us is to consecrate ourselves. What's that mean? Sanctify, set apart, dedicate, consecrate ourselves, because God has plans. Now, some of us are really sensing that evidence of God being on the move at this time, that he is indeed planning to do great things. Like the story of Elijah in 1 Kings 18, some of us can sense and hear the sound of abundant rain, even though there's not a cloud in the sky at the moment, but we know the rain is coming. Some of us have a sense of a dam that is about to burst, and the water representative of God's blessing and God's power is about to pour out of that dam. And the only reason God holds it back is so that he can be sure we can all swim, that we'll all swim in that water and not actually be swept away by it. We also have a sense of a huge wave building, lots of water, a huge wave building to a tremendous, tremendous crescendo. And before it crashes over, we need to learn to surf that wave. So, church, this is a really significant time for us at SVC, a significant time for our town, a significant time for our nation. I want to learn to swim. I want to learn to swim in that abundant wave as it crashes, or in that dam as it bursts. So I'm in. I'm in for this. I guess the question is, what about you? Thank you.
Thank you, Wendy. And last, but no means least, would you welcome our community pastor, Debbie?
Hello. Hi, so I'm going to put in context Wendy's word, but to do that I'm going to start sort of at the beginning, well not the very beginning, but give you a bit of background on what's been going on in our community ministries. I'm going to talk to you about what I think God's calling us into now and introduce to you an exciting new ministry that we think God's calling us to start quite soon. So over our community ministries over the last year or so, we've seen them really growing and developing. We've been connecting with lots of people, which you heard Jason go into loads of detail about all the numbers last week. God's doing amazing things, and we're meeting lots of people outside of church and having opportunities to get to know them and to speak into their lives. But there's a real sense that these are lots of one-off things or short courses, and that people at the end of it are wanting to stay connected with us, but we're kind of just going through this sort of cycle. So we've been really seeking God on sort of what he wants us to do and how he wants us to move forward. Part of this, we do this because meeting Jesus is what we aim to do. It's our series at the moment, and actually by reaching out into our community is a great way that we do meet Jesus. We become more like him. It deepens our relationship with him. And it's just such an exciting privilege to see what he's doing out there with people that don't yet know him, the way he's revealing himself to people, and the way he's speaking into people's lives. This is something that we really feel strongly that we're called to do. In Matthew 25, he says, "For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." They queried, "When did we do that for you, Lord?" And the king replied, "Truly, I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." So when we go out and do our practical things and we help people and we think, you know, is this really worth it? Is this doing anything? This is what God said to do for us to do. And by doing this, it draws us closer to him because we're stepping into who he wants us to be. So this is something for everybody. It's not just, there's not a special few. That do this. This is what we're all doing in our day-to-day life. It's really part of the vision and mission of our church as well. You know, you've heard it said lots of times that we talk about the Great Commandment and the Great Commission. We want to go out and love our neighbours and make disciples. We want to show people that God loves them so that we have an opportunity to speak into their lives and tell them about what he's done for them and introduce them to him. Sorry. The other part of our mission is in our mission statement that we want Sutton to be different because we exist. We don't want to just be a church that meets on Sunday that nobody really notices. We want Sutton to be changed by the power of God. So we try and do things offering practical support, demonstrating God's love in a safe, we want to be a safe and non-judgmental place where all can come and know something of the love of Jesus, and that somehow the people will encounter Jesus through what we can offer. So on this basis of Jesus being at the centre of everything we do and God calling us to build stronger relationships with the people that we're coming into contact to, we've been trying to sort of think, what is it that he's calling us to do? completely lost my thread. So we wanted to think, how can we build longer relationships with people and how can we really have permission to start to talk into their lives? And we felt that we needed to be a place where people could come regularly, where we could be known as somewhere that people could come, whatever their situation, whatever their circumstances, if they needed care or support or just a listening ear or practical provisions. And at the moment, that's something that we haven't quite got to. We wanted to just be a place where people can come and know that they're created in God's image. And we just want to hear more stories of people coming into contact with Jesus and building a relationship with him. Like we've just heard all those amazing testimonies in the baptism video. Like, that's what we want to hear more of. So in order to go beyond this, we started looking into what we thought God might be asking us, how he might be asking us to do that. So we were looking at our church, have we got at the moment. We've got lots of families and children, and that seems to be a big area that we serve in because it just is what God's brought to us, I think. So looking around in this, we came across a ministry run by Kingston Vineyard called Grow Baby, and it's also been replicated in lots of other churches since. And what they do is very simple. They provide quality baby clothes and equipment in a supportive and caring environment for noughts to fives, and it's free to anybody who needs it, regardless of income, background or faith. And people come along, receive practical support, and they're also valued and experience the love of Jesus. So we've been exploring this over a period of time, thinking, is this something that actually would provide what we're looking for? Is this something that God's asking us to do? And we've kind of ummed and ahed for a while. And just recently, we really feel like God's telling us that now is the time to move forward with this. So I gathered together a bunch of people who I thought might be into this kind of thing, who were already sort of serving in family ministries, and was really quite overwhelmed with all the passion and enthusiasm that came about from it, which kind of made me think, maybe this is something of God and it's not just me on a little nice idea. So we were getting excited and thinking about what this could provide and how this could be the space that people could come to. And then this Miracle of the Dolphin pub sort of arose. And that space that just appeared in Sutton and the Man of Favour, and we've just been given the opportunity to meet there and do things there. And we just got really excited dreaming about what a ministry like Grow Baby could look like in a space like that. It's right in the heart of our community. It's right in the midst of people that need Jesus and need practical support. And more than that, it would be a visible presence in our high street of the church serving the community, a visible place where Jesus is present in our town. So we just thought that it would be so amazing to do something like that there, where God's presence is tangible when people go in, because there's so much prayer going on that people come in and notice that somewhere it feels different. And I know already people have said that when they've walked into that building, and not only church people. So we don't know where this adventure's going with the Dolphin Pub. But with or without the Dolphin, we feel that this ministry of serving people with small children is something that God's calling us into right now. But we do feel that it's bigger than just the practical provision of these clothes and equipment. So as a group, we were discussing sort of what the names, ideas, and we thought that actually Grow Baby wasn't something that resonated with us, because it felt a bit restricted. It felt a bit like just doing something for small children. And actually, we feel that this is something bigger. This is almost like a springboard to God giving us a real hub in the community. So we wanted a name to reflect this. So we did lots of chatting, lots of Googling, a bit of praying as well, discussing it, trying to come up with some good ideas. And eventually we settled on the name Lighthouse, because we really liked the way it reflected the shining light going out into the community. It was a place of refuge. It would point the way to the safety of the land and refuge in God. And we just thought, yeah, actually, that sits really well. And there's a song as well about the lighthouse and all those words that came into it. And then we shared it with Wendy, who got really excited, as you can. And so we kind of felt maybe we had heard from God and he'd got into our Google searches. And so we feel like Lighthouse was a name, because it just kind of encapsulates what the things that we want to be in our community. So our vision for Lighthouse really is to be able to provide the practical support that I've talked about, but also to be an umbrella for all our community ministries, or a lot of them, and a connection point between our church and our community. So it's just want it to be a practical environment where people can be accepted and meet Jesus, and where people can come and have their lives transformed both practically and spiritually. So our hope is that it can be a space where people can come regularly, where we can run some of our other courses as well, and that we can really start to push into the relationships that God is bringing into our paths, that ultimately people can come to know him. So on a really practical level, what is it that I'm talking about and what will it look like? What our dream for Lighthouse is that it will provide a space on a regular basis which is comfortable and welcoming, that people will come in, there'll be sofas, a space for their children to play, nice tea and cakes, and that people can come in and chat. We can talk to them about what it is that they need in terms of clothing and equipment, but also we can provide a space for them to talk about their lives if they want to, opportunities to pray for them if they want to. However, no one will be expected to do that. We're just as willing to bless people who don't want to engage in that way as well. We just want to serve our community. And then from there, we envisage that we will give people items which have been donated, and that there's opportunities for people to stay and just connect, really, and build relationships. And that people will be welcome to come back other times, whether or not they need sort of more items from us. And that also, we'll run courses and things like that from there. So if this is something that stirs something in you and you think, wow, that sounds like a vision that excites me, please come and find out more. Speak to me, email me, or come along on the 27th of March. I'm going to hold a little gathering at the church centre just to talk more about the ins and outs and the details of what that might look like. So please don't rule yourself out because you haven't got small children. We need men and women, young and old, because we want to be a representation of the kingdom of God in our community. And there's so many different ways to get involved. So please pick up a flyer. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you, Debbie. Well done. And now it falls to me for a handful of minutes after last week and this week to bring that together for us before we worship to finish our time together. We say we're about the Great Commandment and the Great Commission, and I hope last week and this week gives you a flavour of how we're pressing into that as a church. And God is good. He's releasing things to us and he's calling it to us. And if this is your church and you're part of this church, this is a place and a space to take risks and to pray and to be stretched and see God do miracles through us and with us and with you. And I hope you're excited about that. As I said, as we've been trying to discern, Lord, where are we? Where do you want us to be? I want to come back to this. The Lord, it's a word he spoke to me. He said, we're going to need a new home. We need to start looking now. The rate that we're growing, we've got faith for growing over the next couple of years to go from a church of 550 to 700 with what God's doing with us. And we will need our own space and place to do all the things that we want to do. And there are a few things that God is putting in front of us now. And those are things because they're important now. But also, Phil, the Lord said, these are things that if we engage in them and make them happen, will enable us to grow in faith and be the kind of church that can receive a building in the future as we look for it. And we have this amazing opportunity to prepare for that because it's going to take a miracle to get a permanent home. You all know what it costs around here for land and property. It will take a miracle of God releasing a place and space. By the way, when I talk to other pastors who have got facilities that they've moved into, and then I've seen the phenomenal growth of what God's done with them when they get them, churches sort of our stage of life, it has never been because there were a few millionaires in the church that said, don't worry, I've got this. It took spiritual warfare. It took the release of impossible pieces of land and property. It took a phenomenal amount of generosity by church members to release that and make that possible. All amazing stories of risk and faith that God released, and then seeing an even a bigger explosion of ministry and the Great Commandment and the Great Commission. And that's what I feel as we come into this season, if I can land all of this together, it's this. That entering into this stuff now, and in particular the Dolphin Pub, these are baby steps to become the kind of church that will be ready for that level of faith and those level of miracles for a facility for our region later. So now I want to say something to finish to those of you who are Christians. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, and if this is your church family, what I'm about to say is for you. And it's the bit where I pick up what Wendy said. Are you in? Are you in for this? Will you take the risks and make this happen with us? And this is an opportunity. 20 years in today, having been prayed for and released, our official church birthday's later in April. And look back and say, we made that happen with God together. So we've got some cards that the team are going to be passing around for all of you. And again, I'm speaking to those of you who are Christians, followers of Jesus, and this is your church family. And we're asking you to respond this morning to three things. Three things. The first one, the most simple one, serving on Sundays. This is family business. You know what it's like if you've got a house? There's just stuff that needs to be done so you can be a family and keep things going. We are a growing church. Look around here this morning. Our morning service this morning, I think, was the fullest I've ever seen it. God is bringing us new people and new Christians and growing us. We have a philosophy and a value in our church that we don't kill a few people to do everything for everyone. It's family business. So we have this value. Everyone that considers this their church, we ask them to serve at least once on a Sunday. Two things by that I mean this. One is, if you want to find what you're gifted at, just start serving. Don't do that thing of saying, I'm waiting till I find what I'm called to. It'd be like my kids saying, I'm not gifted at doing the dishwasher, Dad. You go, we just do stuff together as family. Sign up and you find your gifting later. It doesn't matter how, I don't care how much you do in the rest of the life of our church, outside of Sundays. We need every single person to serve. So, this will help us to move forward and keep connecting to what God's doing here. If you are not on a rota on a Sunday, tick the box on that card, and my lovely wife, Beverly, will follow you up, and she will find something for you to do to help us to grow and continue to be God's family here on Sunday. That's the first thing. Second thing, you've had some photos come up here of the Dolphin Pub. Many of you have been down to pray. Lots of you will have heard about this. As a space, it has been a miraculous space, an answer to prayer. Following October and praying and being gifted a space to use for prayer in the heart of a town centre with a man who is desperate for us to be able to use it for the things. By the way, you know all this stuff that we've shared this morning? I have been sharing that with him. Here is what we might do if in this space. Just shamelessly, if he is a man of favour, casting vision to him, and he's in his mid-60s, and then he emails me about it, he goes, you put me in a dilemma. His current dilemma is Piri Piri Chicken want to take the place off of him for a long enough contract, he'll probably be dead by the time the contract finishes 20 years' time. And he goes, but I want this. This man's not a Christian. And yet he's captivated by this. And he's already trying to find ways for us to release this. This is a moment where God has done something. And I've been praying and saying, Lord, all right, with everything else going on, what is it about the Dolphin Pub? Well, it's a miracle and it's a space. But there are a couple of things. And I think the Lord is saying this. If we ever think, church, that we are going to see large plots of land and something that costs millions of pounds released to us to do lots more of this in the community. I mean, the long-term vision for a plan is imagine thousands of young people from schools meeting with us, thousands of people locally coming through for conferencing and courses and Alpha and ministries, and that's where we want to reach for. This, in comparison, is a baby space. This is a baby step. This is a tiny little space in the scheme of the universe and facilities. But this is something that God is putting. He's gone, have I got your attention, church? I've provided this miraculously. Have I got your attention, church, that there are some amazing things that you've just heard that could be released here? Because if we make this happen, our faith will grow. And we'll see what God does with us and the church. And that means the next lot of people coming into the life of our church, we will have this story to tell them in the next couple of years and say, this is what God has next for us. So say, why the Dolphin? Well, it's miraculous. Did you see, have we got the drawings? So that's the basement. Shamelessly, I got someone to do some drawings for me and I sent them to landlord and said, instead of Piri Piri Chicken signs, here's what we envisage this place could look like. And he wrote straight back to me and said, oh, you have given me a dilemma. the Dolphin and showing it as a space and place in the community. I imagine this space, because we're a growing church and we need more space, and God's speaking to us about this. This is where Lighthouse would be birthed. Everything stored in the back and potentially hundreds. Debbie's a social worker, works locally. Bringing all of that, imagine hundreds of families coming through in a safe space off of a high street. That place to meet in and to talk to. Ben, as he does his stuff with young people locally. By the way, you didn't mention it, so I'll mention it. Going into these schools, Ben is saying, you know I'm a Christian, you know I'm a pastor. If these young people want to stay connected to me, can they? And they are saying, yes. So Ben is free to invite these people, these young people locally. There is a plague locally of self-harm. I met with the chief executive of St. Helier Hospital that oversees things for this for three boroughs, in fact. And he said, can I talk to you as a parent? He said, self-harm and the image of young people, he said, is like a disease. 15,000 young people that he's got on a list, an at-risk register of self-harm. That we live at a time and an age where young people have no sense of the image of who they are in Christ. And God's opening up schools for us, for our pastor, that 2 years ago, many of you were here, decided to give and make happen. And look what God is now doing. And Ben's like, I could say, come into town. Come and have a coffee. Come and be prayed for. Come and do Alpha. Come and do other things that happen. Another thing is about God joins himself to spaces and places in faith. This place was the most despicable place locally as a reputation. Every person I know who knows this place, because you're doing what at the Old Dolphin? This place was shut down so many times by our local authority because of its drugs and its alcohol and its violence and the criminality that ran out of that place. And God's chosen this place to release this to us. In fact, our landlord, showing a survey around for Piri Piri Chicken, walks in and says, let there be light, and switches on the lights. And then tells me how the surveyor went, who'd been there before, said, looking at our cross that was up, looking at our post-it notes and our prayers And the surveyor saying, this place feels so different. Do you know what he was sensing? We've been there praying. The presence of God. A particular passion and vision that I have about young people that God's put on my heart is a youth movement locally. A place where young people, when they walk in the door, the Holy Spirit would fall upon them. A place where young people can come to and they can be prayed for and go home and be freed from self-harm. Never mind Lighthouse, never mind families meeting there, never mind the dignity of people gathering together to be supported about their money and their parenting. This place and this space, I don't know if you haven't been there, go and see it. I'll take you down to see it anytime you want to. Sits in the midst of a massive development of hundreds and hundreds of new accommodations with thousands of people moving into them and more set to happen. I walked across the road to the cafe across the road. We're already being watched. The owner, a few weeks ago when I went in, said to me, are you from the church across the road? Because he saw our sign up. And he goes, what are you doing there? I said, we're praying. We're praying. And got to talk to him. He's very willing to be the official Kate Cafe for the church. But it's wonderful. Already, we are being looked at. Lighthouse, windows. So we need two things. I know we're running over time, but the band know this with me. But this is too important after 20 years. What's it going to take to make this happen, to release all of this, to grow our faith, to become the kind of church that might get its own facility later? We need to grow our giving. Brothers and sisters, if this is your church, we need to grow our giving. We have a vision and we have a need. We are not going to enter into all of this and become the kind of church that can do this and get its own facility if the people who are already giving and tithing have to bear the burden and do it more. I won't tell you the statistics this morning, but there is a large number of the people in our church who work, who do not give at all, and who are maybe baby givers. And this appeal is to you if you are a Christian and this is your church. If you are finding faith build up inside you and want to take a risk with us, we are asking those of you who are not tithing. I haven't got time this morning. Some of you, you know, you've heard so many talks about this. You've already walked out of doors from Sunday services full of fear, full of apprehension, full of guilt. That's not what we're doing this morning. We're setting a vision of faith before you. But if you're not tithing, we need you to tithe. And it would actually only take a few people, a handful of people, to make this be released. So we're asking this, and you've got a little form, it's on the form there. If you're not giving at all, we're not asking you to just start giving. We're asking you to tithe, like many of us do in church. Come and join us who do that. And by the way, those of us who do that do not do it because we're millionaires and this is simple for us. We have done it as an act of faith. I promise you, you won't starve, you won't lose your house, and you won't die if you do this. But you could release something phenomenal, and you could release something phenomenal for you. And I mentioned this last week. We are offering, we've never done this in the life of the church, a guarantee. If you tick this box, and this box is saying, I'm going to start giving, tithing fully, or if you're already giving, you want to grow your giving, so you're going to, maybe it means doubling, tripling what you currently give, we are giving you a guarantee. Try this. Malachi 3, I shared last week, the Lord says, test me in this. Jesus says in Luke 7, yes, you should tithe. Jesus says in Luke 6, the measure you give is the measure things will be measured to you. Take a risk. Try it. We guarantee you in 90 days' time, if you have not seen God release blessing and you have not been blessed, we will give you back every penny that you have given. And the reason we're doing that is often it's because of fear. I'm too afraid. I can't do this. And we want to take that hurdle away from you so that if God is speaking to you this morning, you can say yes. By the way, here is what will happen if you do this. We need to take a step of faith with the landlord. We can't wait to raise loads of money. But enough of you indicate that you're willing to start tithing, then I can go to the trustees and we can go to the landlord and I can ask him in faith and say, we're nearly there. Will you give us more and will you let us use this place for this? And I can take that step of faith with him. Last one. Again, this is something we've never done in the life of the church, giving our time and our skills. And if we get a bigger facility, we're going to need this. We're asking for a donation of time and skills. Not instead of. Please don't read this as, well, I don't need to give because I can give my time. No, we want all of it. Serve on Sundays, give fully, and this third one, make a donation of time. The reason I know this is the Lord, I was umming and ahhing about this, but here's what I'm asking you for. If you have a skill, if you are an electrician, a plumber, a builder, a contractor, a surveyor, an engineer, a draftsman, anything related to facilities, we need you. And we need you to donate some of your time and your skills, and we need you to donate, here's the ask, some of the people that work for you and ask them to come and join in this project, because they're going to get blessed too. The reason I know this is the Lord is that a couple of weeks ago, a member of our church who didn't know anything about this coming up to me, came up to me in the foyer and said, he's an engineer, Jason, I don't know why, but I've been praying and I just feel that God's told me to gift my time and everyone who works for my company to the church. I don't know what you might want to use that for, but I just get the sense God's got something at the minute. And I felt the Holy Spirit say, see, I'm already doing this. So we're asking you. And by the way, we need a workforce of people. And you may say, I don't have any of those things. We want your time. We live in the most time-poor, time-starved place, probably in the history of human beings. And we're asking you to build your faith and donate your time. Tick the box. If you have a skill, put it on there. If you don't, we will find something. One guy on the way out said, the only thing I'm good for is lifting things. I said, perfect. We'll find lots of things for you to lift. But here's what will happen. And we're asking you to fill this in this morning. And John Wright, who's our national director at the Trent Vineyard in Nottingham, I heard him say this once, the opportunity of a lifetime needs to be taken in the lifetime of the opportunity. God has spoken, God has released something, God is calling us into something. And if he is calling you to be part of it, don't do that thing where you say, I'll go away and pray about it, because that usually means I'll go away and do what I normally have done. But if you have any measure of faith this morning, here's how faith works. You are terrified. I don't have enough time. You are fearful about your money. You have some other very strong emotions right now, anger, resentment, the past. And the Holy Spirit would say to you, overcome all of those. Take a step of faith and see what I do with you. And we're asking you, because I need this morning to go back to the landlord, drop it in the welcome box, the offering box in the back as an act of worship. Tick the boxes, drop it in as you go out. If you put your email address on there, we'll email you. If you don't have an email, put your phone number, we'll phone you. But that's what we're wanting to step into. So, let's stand. And we'll pray. Let's have the worship team back. So, Lord, come. Oh, Lord, how do we cram 20 years into two services? How do we give thanks to you for all that you've done? How do we begin to step into what you're calling us to? Lord, we thank you for your presence. We thank you that as best as we can, we want to say yes to you. So help us now as we worship to return ourselves to you. And may faith fall upon us and be multiplied in us. And may fear and anxiety and resentment and apathy and indifference and the past and hurt be broken over us. Lord, we're going to sing songs like we usually do about who you are and what you've done and what we want to do for you. And Lord, may those words be enacted and activated so that we will see lives changed, and most of all, Lord, our lives. Amen.